Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Revelation chapter number 13. Now, as we enter into chapter number 12 and chapter number 13 of Revelation, you will read about the biblical record of three beasts, evil beasts of the tribulation period. In chapter 12 of Revelation, we studied the first beast, which was said to be like a dragon, which is none other than Satan himself. In the first part of chapter 13, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the second beast in the tribulation period, the second evil one of this evil trinity. And of course, this beast is none other than the Antichrist or false Christ. But today I want to look at the third and final beast of this evil trinity during the tribulation period. And I want to look at specifically three major points about this beast. And we're going to look today at the classification of this evil person. Number two, we're going to look at the identification of this evil person. And then we're going to end the sermon today by the will of God and by the grace of God by looking at the deception of this evil person. So first of all, let's look at the classification given of this evil one. Now, notice, first of all, that he is classified as being very much real. This man is a very real man. This is not some fault in the mind of John, but this is a very real person. This beast, this evil, wicked person is very, very real. Notice what it says in verse number 11. John said that he said, I beheld another beast. I looked up the word beheld, and it comes from the word behold. The word behold means to look upon, as to study or as to examine. It does not mean to glance. It does not mean to just look for a moment. But it means to examine, to look as if you were studying. John says here, I beheld, I studied this figure, I examined this person. He says that without a doubt, it's not that I heard about him. It's not that I heard him speak or his voice. He says, but I actually beheld him. I studied him. I saw him. I looked upon him. I beheld him. I examined him. This classifies him as being very real. Now, we're living in a day and age today that so many folks will say the Word of God is just a book of fairy tales. We're going to find out one day that it's not. Amen? And I believe without a doubt that this third beast, this third evil, wicked person is very much real. And I would say that he's not only real because of the proof of John's vision, but I believe he's real because of the proof of God's written Word. The Bible says in verse number 11, in God's infallible, inerrant Word, that this third beast, this third evil person of the evil trinity during the tribulation period is very much real. So he is classified as being real. Number two, we're going to not deal long with the first two points, so I'm going to get to point number three, but let's go through the classification of this evil person. He's classified as being very real. Number two, notice that he is classified by his rebellion. Where is that, preacher? Thank you for asking. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, the Bible shares with us that the word that God wants to give you and I, and all those that's ever had a written copy of the Word of God, the description or the classification that God gave John to pin down in his word is the word beast. The Bible does not say I saw another man, even though this is a man. But God called this man a beast. Just the same description that God called the false Christ a beast that came up out of the sea. I want to tell you today, the word beast speaks to us about his rebellion. His rebellious heart towards God. His rebellious heart towards righteousness and what is true and right and godly. This is a rebellious man. This man is a very wicked man. And rebellion is overflowing in his heart, in his mind, and in his soul. Notice not only do we see the classification of this evil man, we see that he's classified as being very real. He's classified, number two, as of his rebellion. Number three, he is classified by his region. Stay in your Bibles today. Don't ever close your Bibles. You'll miss something. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast, where? Coming up out of the earth. He was coming up out of the earth. Now we know that the false Christ, Antichrist, the second beast of the evil Trinity, was coming up out of the sea. And we talked about the word sea used in the Old Testament, New Testament. It speaks about a people, a Gentile people. But here this third beast is said to come out of the earth. The word earth in verse number 11, listen to me. And verse number 11 comes from the word, its meaning is the word world. Now, we're not being irreverent. If you were to read, I don't change the word, but if you were to read it with this understanding, I beheld another beast coming up out of the world. Now, when I say world, I'm not talking about a country. When I say world, I'm not talking about a land. I'm not talking about some planet. But I'm talking about a people. This same definition of world is used in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It's not talking about that He loved the planet. It's not saying that He loved the grass blades or He loved the fruits and the vegetables and the trees and the animals. No, He's saying He loved the world. He loved people. Amen. The Bible says that this beast, this third beast, is coming up out of the world. How often have you heard preachers or teachers say, or how often have you said that, you know, I used to be of the world. Come on, I need a witness or two. You know, I often say you can be in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. We call people that are away from God or people that are lost, we call them worldly. Come on, I need some help. Worldly people. And the Bible says, so what are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about he's classified by his region. Where is he coming from? This is not a saved man. This is a man from the world. Now, more specifically, the world here, as it means in John 3:16, the word world means specifically a lost people. He is a lost man. Now, he will fool folks in believing that he's a good man, a good moral man, a spiritual man, but yet he is a lost man. He is from the world. That's his region. Can I say to you, we got a lot of men behind sacred desks today that are not of God. They're of the world. Amen. You can have that for free. I'm right. They are of the world. That's their region. Abraham said he was looking for another country, another world, amen. I'm glad this world's not my home, amen. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere down at Wells Fargo. I mean, another world, amen. I'm just kidding. All right, he's classified, number one, by being very much real. Number two, he's classified by his rebellion. He is classified by his region. And then notice, fourth of all, he's classified by being religious. By being religious. This is a religious man. Wait a minute, preacher. You just said he was a worldly man. Preacher, how in the world could he be a worldly man, a lost man, and still be religious man? Because religion never saves. Religion, I believe, is the number one cause that people are in hell right now. There's a lot said about religion right now going on with the presidential Republican election, the candidates, and you know about the talk about Mormonism and all the talk they're having about all these, what they say is part of the Christian faith. I saw on Fox News a senator from Utah, an older man, I can't think of his name, but I did see it, I heard him, he said that he didn't understand why folks were calling Mormonism a cult. He said because Mormonism is our nickname, our true name is the Church of Jesus Christ. He said we're a follower of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, if you study Mormonism, it doesn't line up with this book. Hey, man, you can have it for free. He said, preacher, don't pick on other people's religion. I'm against religion. I can't stand religion. Your religion won't get you there, Joseph. It'll be salvation. I'm telling you, the world puts emphasis on religion. And this man is a worldly man, but yet he's a religious man. Where is that, preacher? Thank you for asking. Look, in verse 11, the Bible goes on to say that he had two horns like a lamb. Now, John is writing the best of his ability, what he sees and what God's allowed him to pin down on this parchment. And he's writing here that what he saw was a beast, and it looked like to him a lamb with two horns. Now, notice that the Bible says that he was not a lamb. The word is used like. I've got it circled in my Bible. What the Bible says is that he's an imitation of a lamb. Are you with me? He is a counterfeit of a lamb. He is an imitation of a lamb. The Bible does not call him a lamb. You know who the lambs of God are? Oh, we're the sheep, the lambs of his pastures. Why? Because we have been saved and made him our shepherd. But those that are lost, they're not lambs. They are called goats. But it says that this man's religious. Why? Because he looks like, he acts like a lamb. Do you know today there's people in our churches today that are goats, but they act like a lamb? They're in our pulpits and our Sunday school classes. They sing the songs this morning, and they play the instruments in churches around the world, and yet they profess, but they do not possess Jesus Christ. They profess salvation, but they do not possess salvation. I'm telling you, a while ago, Brother William said that, 99% of the folks in Japan are lost, but I guarantee you a bunch of them are religious. Because being religious will never save you. You've got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was like a lamb. He's an imitation. You know, it's... being an imitation of something means you're not the real thing. Am I right? It's like the husband that thought he was doing well as a husband to his wife, and he'd always brag about what he would do and said, honey, I bet you other husbands wouldn't do this. Honey, I bet you other husbands wouldn't say this to their wives and go on. But yet, the things that he needed to really do as a husband, he lacked. And so... one day, his wife said to him, said, dear, she said, you're thinking more highly of yourself than you really are. I don't want to break your heart, but you're not as really that great of a husband as you think. He says, why, I don't believe that. He said, the other day, someone told me that I was a model husband. She left, went and got the dictionary, came back. She said, model means, in the dictionary, a miniature model of something of a larger scale. He may be like a lamb, but he's not a lamb. Amen? He may be, so don't say I'm a model husband. You better look that word up first. Amen. He is like a lamb, so he is classified as being real. He is classified by his rebellion. He is classified by his region. He is classified, number four, by he being religious. We know that the Word of God in chapter 16, chapter 19, chapter 20, Revelation, the Bible gives the title of this man. You know what his name is? What his title is? False prophet. Come on, help me now. False prophet. You know why he's considered a false prophet, because he's a servant of the false Christ. Hello? Number two, the reason he's considered a false prophet, not only is he a follower, a servant of a false Christ, but he teaches false teachings. That's why the Bible nails him to the wall and says he's nothing but a false prophet. Number two, this won't take long, the identification of the false prophet. Do you know that many have tried to teach, they've tried to preach, they've tried to discuss, they've even wrote pamphlets, they've wrote books, to try their best to identify the false prophet. Who he is? You know, the other week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how many have tried to identify the false Christ as being Nero, as being Hitler, and on we could go. Folks said, oh, that's the false Christ. Do you know there's people today that try to identify the false prophet with somebody? I know there's many false prophets. I'm talking about the false prophet. The third beast here in this Trinity during the tribulation period, this evil man. But you know what? I thought about, you know, I sometimes think that it could be Judas. Some people say Judas was the will be the false Christ. I lean towards more that he's the false prophet. He could be. I'm not saying he is. I said it very well could be. Think of this. The false prophet in the tribulation period only goes about in the ministry 3.5 years. Judas only went about on the earth 3.5 years. We know that Judas, when he died, he went to his place as if there was a reserved place for him for future activities. There's so many things about Judas. Judas was not a saved man, but he sure was a religious man. Come on now. Amen. Judas was a deceiver. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he kissed the cheek of the Lord, and he said, Hail, Master. He was greeting the Lord as if he loved the Lord. But what he actually was doing was giving a sign to the enemy, this is him. So, and I don't have time to go in that, but I'm not going to identify him. I'm going to say it is. Don't leave here and say, the preacher said false prophet. I didn't say that, but it's a lot to think about there. But I will say this, we don't need to be so wrapped up today in who is the Antichrist. We don't need to be so wrapped up today, who is the false prophet, but rather what we ought to be wrapped up in, what we ought to be concerned with and saturate ourselves with, is what do they stand for? And what are they going to do? Because that's all God's Word gives us. God's Word never gives us the name of the false Christ, and God's Word never gives us the name of the false prophet. But it does give us the name of the dragon. Satan. Because he is the leader of the clan. He's the master of evil. And so don't get wrapped up in all that garbage. I know folks want to know more than what the Bible tells them. Just stick with the Bible. Amen? We'll find that other stuff out when we get there. Amen? I'm not too concerned about it anyway. Hallelujah. I'm going to be gone. Amen? But we better be concerned about the false prophets of today. And then let's close with this. Number one, the classification of this evil one. Number two, the identification of this evil one. Don't know who he is. Bible doesn't tell us. But number three, let's finish with the deception. The deception of this evil one who we know is the false prophet. I want to say to you today that deception has always been a tool or a tactic, are you hearing me? Of the devil. The very, very first characteristic that God shares with us about the devil, about Satan, about the father of lies, when he's dealing with man, is deception. He came into the Garden of Eden, or paradise, transform or deceiving Eve, because he came as a beautiful snake. Deception. The first time he dealt with mankind, he was deceiving them. And then what was the first conversation he had with mankind? Hath God said? Did God really say that? Where God put a period, Satan put a question mark. I'm telling you what, deception has always been an evil tactic, a wicked tool of Satan, and therefore it is an evil tactic, it is an evil tool of the false Christ and of the false prophet in the tribulation period and of all the false teachers and of all the false so-called prophets today in which we live. They are deceptive. The deception of the false prophet. Let me look at the word deceive. I wrote this down. The word deceive or deceit means this. Literally a catching or ensnaring. Did you get that, church? Are you with me? The word means literally a catching or an ensnaring. Hunters do it all the time. They try to ensnare or catch an animal when they're most vulnerable, when they're there with that deer corn. They try to blow those grunt calls. They saturate themselves with doe urine. Hallelujah. Real hunters do that. Amen, Brother Chris? Amen. Brother Tim, you saturate yourself with deer urine? You don't do that. Okay. Confession is good for the soul, Brother Tim. Beverly don't allow that. But why is deception? Why? To catch, to ensnare something. And that's what deceiving or deceit means, is to lead someone to believe what is false. To deceive someone, if you say they're a deceiver, they practice deception. What are you saying? You are saying that they lead people to believe what is false. There's also a second definition to deception. It not only could mean that you lead or speak of someone that leads folks into believing what is false, it also means leading someone to not believe what is truth. Are you with me? You can be a deceiver by, number one, leading folks to believe what is false, or number two, leading someone to not believe the truth. Are you with me? And that's exactly what this false prophet in the tribulation period, and that's exactly what our false teachers in this world are doing today. Leading folks away from the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible tells us that false teachers are full of deceit. And they are workers of deception. Now let's close. Let's land this plane. Let's talk about the deception. I want you to notice, number one, the false prophet's deception executed. Look in your Bible. The false prophet's deception executed. Look at verse number 11. How is he executing deception, preacher? Verse number 11, he pretends to be a lamb. John said he was like a lamb. This man will come on the scene and he'll pretend to be something that he is not. Are you with me? He's like a lamb. He's not a lamb. He's not for good. He's not for godliness. He's not for righteousness. He's for evil. He's executing deception by how? Pretending to be a lamb. Number two, in verse number 12. We see that his deception is executed how he partners with the superhero, super ruler. You remember the Antichrist, the false Christ will come on the scene and the economy is going to be worse than what it is now. And the world's going to be in some financial straits and there's going to be some major problems. Are you hearing me? And this Superman, this super ruler is going to come on the scene. He's going to bring this false counterfeit peace to the Middle East, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, it seems, and everybody's going to praise this man. And so this false prophet partners with this super ruler. And because everybody says that the ruler is super, the ruler is wonderful, they're obviously going to think, because the prophet is partnering with him, that he's got to be a good man too. Do you see his deception? Number three, his deception will be executed because he promotes worship. Oh my, let's get on this train for a little while and ride. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship. Would not worship. His desire is that people worship. He wants people to worship. Look at verse 12. He exercises all the power of the first beast before Him. He causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship. Two times in these last few verses, we see the word worship. The word worship. Listen to me. I'm telling you, this man will promote worship. There are churches today that met, I'm telling you, God forbid this ever happening in the Open Door Baptist Church, where there were false prophets, false teachers, and they were there, they looked like lambs, but they were nothing but goats, and they were there, and everybody thought, boy, they really lead a good worship service. Boy, they really lead us to worship. I'm telling you, what are they trying to lead you to worship? You know, it's not so much about worshiping. It's who you worship. Amen. It's who you worship. He promotes worship. And everybody's going to say, well, this man wants us to worship. That's good. Oh, that's really good. It's got to be good. Sometimes folks listen to songs and say, oh, this, we listen to it because it promotes worship. What kind of worship is it promoting? Is it holiness that it promotes? Is it something that pleases the Lord that it promotes? He promotes worship. Then last of all, he executes his deception because he plays on the emotions of man. Look at verse 13. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth. And notice this, in the sight of men. Men and women, boys and girls are going to see fire come down from heaven because this false prophet called it down. God openly allows it because he's God and God's in control even in the tribulation. Don't ever forget that. God's not somewhere hiding this time. God's still on the throne while the tribulation period is going on. They are just His instruments. And the fire will come down and He'll do it in the sight of men. He will play, listen to me, on the emotions of men. I hope that you get so close to the Lord, you get so grounded in your faith that when you listen to the radio or you watch TV, or you attend some service and some so-called minister stands there and you understand whether or not he's got God on him or whether he's trying to play on your emotions. You watch TBN and they really want to play on your emotions. You want to plant a seed and boy, God's going to bless you. Why don't you plant your seed at Open Door Baptist Church where you go to church? Amen. Quit planting your seed in somebody else's field, amen? Your church needs you, amen? Amen? Well, I can't wait to the offering. We got some new folks got jobs now. I know the offering's going to go up high today. I can't wait, amen? And I thought about how folks play on the emotions. Then notice this, his deception is exposed. Notice this as we shut it down. There's several things in these verses. Listen to me. His deception will not only be executed, but it will be exposed. There's several things that we could say in these verses that we could say, well, that exposes his deception. First of all, in these verses, he wants the world to worship an idol. Shouldn't that expose he's deceitful? Come on. Second of all, he kills. Shouldn't that expose his evil? Third of all, he demands for socialism. Look at verse 16. He calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. You know what socialism is? It is a system of the government where all productions and all distributing of goods are controlled by the government. That is socialism. That ought to tell you right now, it's exposing his evil. But that's not what stands out to me in these verses that actually exposes his deception. Look at verse number 11. I want to tell you how his deception is exposed. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Watch this. And he spake as a dragon. His very words expose him for who he really is. Doesn't Jesus tell us that from the heart man speaketh? Oh, he looks like a lamb, Brother Hicks. But what exposes his deception is he speaks like the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. Are you with me? That's some good stuff today. He spake. That's how he got exposed, Taylor. He was exposed by his speech, by his words. And then I want you to turn to Revelation 19, and we're going to see his deception not only executed, not only exposed, but thanks be unto God, his deception exterminated. I like that word. Something about killing mouses and roaches I like. Amen? Amen? His deception exterminated. Boy, God's got exterminating company in heaven. He's going to take care of the business one day. Amen. Notice in verse 19 of chapter 19, we're talking about the false prophet, his deception exterminated. Verse number 19 of 19. The Bible tells us very, very plainly, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth." This is after the tribulation period, the great war. "And their armies gathered together to make war against him." Talking of Jesus that sat on the horse. "And against his army," which is you and I, the saved. "And the beast was taken," that's the Antichrist, "with him the" what? "False prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he" what? "Deceived," we're talking about deception, "them that he received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter number 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night for a 24-hour period. Forever and ever." You thought I had an NIV up here, didn't you? Forever and ever. Hallelujah. I thank God that no matter how wretched and vile and wicked and horrible and horrific that it gets, oh, and it will, they try to make movies about the tribulation period or about wickedness when it rules and reigns in the world, but nothing has even come to a drop in the bucket of reality of what it's really going to be like when God allows literal hell to break loose on this earth. But listen to me, God's still in control. And as I said 2 weeks ago, while all this is going on in this old world, you and I, we've been raptured up. Hallelujah. There's been a trump sounded, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ, those that are saved, they'll rise up. And then our body's going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And all these cares, all these heartaches, all these sufferings, all these worries and all these pains and diseases, they're all gone. Hallelujah. Because the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. And no one of the songwriter could write. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, there's no land like heaven, amen? And I'm glad, thank God, that God's in control. Amen. Our country's out of control. White House is out of control. House of Representatives, Congress, Senate, out of control. Our local government's out of control. Out of control. Out of control. This world is out of control, but yet, it's still in His control. Do you understand that? And I'm glad He's in control. He's in control, and forever and ever will shout hallelujah. I'm so glad I gave my life to Jesus. I'm so glad that I pushed away my pride. I pushed away my religious lifestyle. I pushed away trying to hang on to mom and dad's coattail. I pushed away that little experience I had at when I was just a little kid at church. I'm glad one day it was real. I'm glad the Holy Ghost convicted my heart, got a hold of me. He not only convicted me, but He convinced me that I was on my way to hell and that Jesus was the only way out. And not only did He convict me, not only did He convince me, but thank God He converted me. Amen. I'm saved. I hope you know the Lord today. I hope you know the Lord today. Beware of false teachers today. They abound everywhere. You know what they do at the bank association meeting that they have in Washington, D.C.? I don't know how often they have it, but new folks in the banking industry or the bank tellers, they go to Washington, D.C., and the part of their learning about counterfeit bills, they leave out of there with the absolute assurity that they can identify a counterfeit bill when it crosses the counter at the bank. Do you know what training they go through to get to that place? Preacher, I know. They bring in a lot of counterfeit bills that's been used in the past, and they examine them counterfeit bills, and they never look at a counterfeit bill. They examine the real thing. And they are so familiar with the real bill that immediately when something fake, something counterfeit, something deceptive comes across the counter, boop, they say, it's not real. I'm telling you, you and I need to get in the real book. You get in here and study. You saturate yourself. You do it with all your heart. And you won't have to come to the preacher and say, preacher, is that a false teacher down there? Preacher, is that a false teacher on the TV? You line them up with this book. And I'm telling you, just like the false prophet will be exposed because he speaks like a dragon, you wait long enough, you listen to their speech, eventually you'll catch them. It won't line up with this book. It won't line up with this book. You know what the number one, reason that people tell me and others that they enjoy my preaching. Whether it's here, my daddy said this the other week, and it was said Sunday in a church I preached at. They said, Brother Lee always is in the Bible. He never gets out of the Bible. You know what people tell me at the church? We love Pastor Lee's preaching because it's nothing but the truth. It's the Bible. He don't get away from it. He don't ever give us theology. He gives us God's Word. Theology won't work. Theology won't save. But stick with the book. Get in the book. Know the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.